want to welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for mightily moving by His Spirit. He is mightily moving by His Spirit. You know, for this broadcast, the Lord put on my heart to talk about mindsets. Mindsets are hard to change without the Word of God. It's almost impossible without the Word of God. It's not impossible, but it's almost impossible to get rid of a negative mindset without the Word of God. Now, when people live the Word of God, that can challenge the mindsets that God didn't ordain. All of the mindsets that God didn't ordain, when the light is shown for truth, those mindsets are exposed for the lies that they really are. Now, some people can really believe what they believe, and they think God is like that too. They think God is okay with whatever it is they're doing because they don't see the danger in it, and they lack knowledge concerning that mindset. So they think it's all right until more light comes about. And the Word of God supplies us with knowledge, the light of His way. And that's why the Lord gave me a commission many years ago saying, "Let not my people lack knowledge." Every chance you get, minister the Word. Every door God opens, minister the Word. Do whatever God sanctions you to do. And then when you can't minister the Word, live the life. It does the same job. Living the life before men, living with the God kind of love, the God kind of faith. It helps men grow. It helps people see truth, more light, and then they go forward. Now, it's hard for people to come out of the shell of their mindset. And they train their children with their mindset. I've seen employers train older employees, train new employees according to their mindset, the way that they think, the way that they believe, the way they feel the job should be done. And they instill in others their way of doing things. And then you have a new person with a new mindset. And we bear fruit after our kind. Now, whatever's in our heart comes out of our mouth. If your mindset is set a certain way, and that belief system gets in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. Even if you try not to allow it. Whatever's in a person's heart, that's coming out of their mouth eventually. And it's coming out with conviction. So the only way to get rid of the problems of this world and the negative mindsets that comes along with the world system is to receive more light. The light of God's Word is designed to expose truth for truth and lies for lies. And so when people say that they love God, it's usually according to how they understand Him. And the way that they understand Him is based upon how they were persuaded to believe. But the Word of God defines God. The deeper people go into the Word of God, they start learning who God really is. And no matter how you look at it, those that love life are attracted to the trueness of God's Word. And people that love the world, when they find out how God really is, If they love the world, they are an enemy. Now, the last broadcast, we talked about how the Pharisees said they loved God, but they were using God for a prop to be preeminent over others. They sat in Moses' seat, but they didn't have Moses' love. They didn't care about the people. They wanted the attention of the people, the riches of the people, the fame that goes with being in charge. Because when the true light came and Jesus taught the Word of God, the Sermon on the Mount. See, the Sermon on the Mount is a summary of who God is and what man should do to honor him. And everything Jesus said, it requires you loving God and you loving man. Outreach with dedication. It's you caring about his people. Because that's life. You can't separate God from life. You can't separate life from love. And seeing that God can't be separated from his love, and his love is life, and the life of God can't be separated from his love either, and God can't be separated from life. When people see you living the essence of God's word, it either draws them or repels them. It's like my pastor said, it either starts a revival or a riot. If Jesus is a plumb line that everybody's measured by, and if he causes people to be drawn to him or repel, if his word divides the soul and spirit, if he's a divider, life is a divider. If life is a divider, love is a divider. The world has a problem with the love of God. That's why Jesus said that the Laodicean church is neither cold nor hot. It's neither in or out. It's neither cold nor... It's neither... The love has been reduced. In other words, that church was being seduced by the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Satan's tactics. If he gets people in full rebellion, people will see it for what it is right off the bat and they'll run from it. But if he can get people to drink milk that's turning, they'll drink more milk that's turning than milk that's turned. If he can get people to be lukewarm, they'll bear fruit. Their fruit will be lukewarm. Their persuasion is lukewarm. The way they raise their children is lukewarm. Their advice is lukewarm. Their dedication is also lukewarm. And when people start loving God, they really living the life of God, really learning from it. People that's been infiltrated with the world will always have a problem with them. Oops. And they're in a state of forming rebellion. Rebellion is forming in their heart and they don't realize it. That's why Jesus said, you're neither hot or cold. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the reason he had to do that is just like a church that's been living in a state of compromise. And then you get this preacher that comes teaching the word of God, the way God wrote it and the way God intended it to be taught. And when he speaks, you know, I've been in that situation because I carry the word that God gave. I preached what God gave me to preach for that audience. And some of the people were hungry for it. It's like they sat on the edge of their seat. It's like they sat up. They were alerted. They were learning. They were receptive. And you can tell when people are receptive because it activates the anointing and it activates the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit started giving more and more information, causing you to say things you normally couldn't fathom. And some people frown. Most, you know, if they were a church that loved knowledge and loved to learn, they were receptive. But the mindsets were the stumbling block. People always had a problem with the mindset. If the mindset wasn't right, it became a great hindrance to people that wanted to know God. And if the pastor didn't repent fast enough and get on board with God, then he put out the fire that was forming in the people. And I remember a pattern, and I hate talking. This really happened, and I'm going to have to say it because it happened. And people, the only reason I'm pointing it out is because people, you're going to run into it. Well, the chances are high that you're going to run into what I ran into. You may not, hopefully not, but you may. Usually when I preached at a church, I preached one time. And I would never be invited again. And it's because mindsets, it's hard for people to get rid of them and make the adjustment. One preacher coming one time, preaching one word, may not be enough to tackle that mindset. Also, if people don't get on board, the enemy is going to try to weaken them to operate against what God said. Satan don't want you to know, and if his persuasion is too strong, people don't like that. You know, they don't like to be challenged, and they don't like change. But when you see God doing something that you're not doing, it's time to change. Now, I fully understand the challenge of mindsets. Even good people get caught up in it, and it's hard. I don't blame people, but I know the challenge. And I don't hold it, you know, I'm not in animosity against the kind of things that happen. I used to be jealous for the things of God. I was zealous, and I was also jealous at the way people responded. People don't always readily receive light as fast as you desire them to. But you have to bear with people. And it's worth it to be long. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is being long-suffering. You don't deviate from your love. You don't deviate from your patience. You don't deviate from your kindness. You don't deviate from your faith. And you don't deviate from your position, which is the new knowledge you've gained from God's Word. You don't go backwards just because other people are not going forward when they could. And you know they could. You love them anyway. And you have to be long-suffering. Now, these kind of things happen after I started asking the Lord to teach me how to love His people. Because I saw clearly that people need love and kindness. And, you know, I once had a radiant temper. I was somewhat long-suffering, but if somebody tried to take something from somebody that was weaker, I'd get upset. And if somebody tried to bully me, I'd fight. And I had to learn some adjustments. In fact, when the Lord first taught me how to love people, I was about to get in a fight. And this was after I was called to the ministry. So I was a Christian, and I was a man of God. and I was going to fight. But when the Lord said everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil, that was a new concept. And I had a new desire and strength to love that guy. That's what I wanted to do, but I just wasn't strong enough. And some people want to do right by you, but they're not strong enough. They don't have the courage to do the right thing. The light of God's word challenges people to the core. The pastors now thank God that they invited me the time that I did go, but they would not invite me back. And some of them, you know, there were many pastors that did, but I started watching, and as I grew in God and I ministered things that God gave, people took it different ways. Some people didn't want that around because, I guess, in my opinion, it looked too good, and people like to be they like preeminence. Good people can be that way, and it's out there. And when you run into it, just be long-suffering, be kind, stick with God. It's going to be all right. The Lord has a plan. And I know ministers, a lot of them, have talked about these kind of things. And some people they allow it to become an excuse not to go forward. Or they don't, you know, some people start their own ministry too quick. You have to follow God. That's the only way to overcome the mindsets. When people are not ready to shift gears, when they're not ready to go forward, in a standard drive car, you have to shift gears. Sometimes people need to shift gears and they're not ready yet. But you have to go on and shift your gears and drive your car. You can't go backwards when you're supposed to be going forward. But that doesn't mean you have to leave a church or an assembly just because people are not sure. You just learn and you grow anyway. You grow until God say do something different. Now remember, when the Lord guides you to do something or make a change, it's going to be perfect. I say that because he thinks of all things. He don't think, some people make judgments just by emotions only. They look at the way they feel and then they act. And that's precisely what the enemy is counting on. Some people leave organizations too fast. People don't agree with them and they jump the gun and leave the organization, and then they talk about them and they don't forgive them like they should. And they get in strife and that strife gets in their heart and they preach against it for years. What about the love of God? What about patience? What about long-suffering? These things need to be addressed. That's what the Lord has me doing. Mindsets are out there. They're not going to change as fast as we desire them to. The Lord knew there would be mindsets when he saved us in the first place. But if we renew our mind, we'll live better with a brand new way of thinking. And we can share to the world how God really is. Now, you've been healed by God, but around people that need to be healed, you clam up. When the Lord heals you, and they're all right, you know, before they get sick. When the Lord heals you, talk about it. When the Lord opens the door for you to talk about it, talk about it. I tell people quite often that when I get here, I tell them about it, so that when they get sick, they'll have faith towards healing. And if they ask me or somebody to pray, they'll know that God heals because they heard it. We respond to light by the word that we hear. But people who are taught error, it's hard for them to get out of that negative mindset. They see God in a way that, in their mind, God don't heal. And he has a good reason not to. And they don't want to be out of order. Or either they're afraid to ask. Or they feel like he may not listen to them because they know what they've been doing. If you need healing, God wants to heal you. If you've been doing wrong, just repent. He don't stop loving you just because you did something stupid. Just because you didn't agree somewhere. Just because you missed it. If you need healing, be healed. That gives you more time to get things right. And the Lord is good. We need to know him. We need to express who he is. Not a stereotype. See, our mindsets, a stereotype is with it. Every time you have a mindset, there's a stereotype that's attached to it. The way you see people, the way you understand people, the way you love people. The stereotype, it can hinder or bless the way you deal with people. But the Holy Spirit is perfect. And he'll show you how people, he's the only one that can tell you what's in the heart of a man. Because Jesus said, in the parable of the wheat and tares, the angels asked the Lord, well, you want us to, there's tares among the wheat. You want us to uproot them? He said, no, you'll uproot some of the wheat. Let them grow together to the harvest, and then we'll separate them. So that means the angels can't tell. Only God can tell what's in a man's heart. And that's what he's looking at, and that's what he's looking for. Now, some people, their heart is attracted to the life of God. But they may have the most obnoxious personality. You'll think they're a child of the devil. And people don't change their ways immediately. When their heart starts turning to God, God knows. But their mind is in the world's gear. That the way that they act seems worldly, but their heart could be looking to the Lord, and the Lord always responds to faith. Some of the worst people, some of the people who do the most outrageous things, they get saved and become dedicated. Now the Lord saw it in the beginning. In the beginning, when they first started turning, people didn't know what to think. Because man is not capable of judging the heart perfectly. They're looking at actions. But they can't read the heart. A man may do something good with evil intent. And a man may do something bad with righteous intent. You know, Apostle Paul held the jacket for the people who were stoning Stephen. In his mind, they were offenders because they went against the law of Moses. They didn't go against the law of Moses. They went against the way he interpreted the law of Moses, because he interpreted under the guise of a Pharisee. He interpreted the way Pharisees had taught him and how they interpreted. In his mind, Jesus and all the people who said they loved him were offenders, because the Lord introduced Jesus in mystery form and he didn't know the scriptures. But when Stephen, under the anointing, gave more light and clarity in Acts chapter 7, Paul didn't drop the jacket, because the words of Stephen had to get in his heart and become faith. It was dialogue that he could not forget. Remember, Paul was not there when Jesus talked. This was the first time he heard true teaching. And Stephen was the only one who taught him. Nobody else is recorded teaching Paul the word of God as it really is, according to the intent Moses really wrote it. But he was looking at the law of Moses the way, under the stereotype of the Pharisees. Under that stereotype, Jesus is an offender. But when the truth was broadcast, it took time and it penetrated his heart. Now, I don't know the duration of time between chapter 7 and chapter 9. In chapter 9, Jesus knocked him down. Now, I used to think he knocked him off a horse, and Brother Horton pointed out that the Bible didn't say that he was riding a horse. I guess we read that into it. You know, if you're going to travel a long distance, you ride something. If you have the money, and Pharisees had money. Nevertheless, he got knocked down by Jesus. And he asked a saving question, say, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "I am Jesus, who you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the priest." And he got up a brand new man. But the word that he heard gave him the faith to know and discern who Jesus is. All in one moment, it all came together. And he saw the word of God the way that Moses intended it, the way that the Holy Spirit revealed it. And he overcame the world thereby. Just like you do, just like I do. And just like God has blessed us to do. Now, with all this said and in mind, we have a strong responsibility to love people and be a blessing. And the Lord is coming soon. And he's going to help us do all the necessary things that's in his heart. As we live according to God's word publicly and on purpose, we broadcast the knowledge of God to everybody who observes us. And the Lord calls them our audience, our daily audience. And as we do so, people have to make a judgment call. Everybody's sitting in Pilate's seat, whether they know it or not. And Jesus is on trial in their heart. They got to judge Jesus as the Son of God or a liar. And we put people on the spot as we walk in the light. We put them in Pilate's seat. And we know that Pilate wanted to send them to Herod. And Herod sent them back to Pilate. Everybody we minister life to, we live the light before them. We put them in Pilate's seat and also Herod's seat. They have to make a judgment call. Either Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of us all, our King, our Lord, or he's a liar. And all the light that we live puts people in Pilate's seat as well as Herod's seat. And we force them to make a judgment call one way or the other. But remember, it's a good thing. Sincerity attracts sincerity. And that also means that those who love the world, worldly behavior attracts worldly behavior. Worldly logic attracts worldly logic. Now, a funny thing happened after the trial of Jesus. Pilate and Herod didn't like each other. But after all this, they became friends because they had something in common. They saw a righteous man and that they didn't want to judge. And it became their duty to judge. And they tried to get out of it. And I don't know what, I know Herod went after pride. And I don't know what happened to Pilate. Pilate seemed much more honorable than Herod to me. But even old crazy Herod, as crazy as he was, he sent him back to Pilate. He didn't know what to do with Jesus. But he didn't want to kill him. And Pilate didn't want to kill him, so He washed his hands of the whole thing and tried to rescue Jesus by offering Barabbas to the people. But the people were just like the Pharisees, or possibly even worse, because we bear fruit after our kind. And remember, fruit comes back like a harvest. They become more than the seed. Our children is our seed. a harvest comes out of their life, and it's great. And if everything goes right, according to God's will, our children become greater than we are, because they have all the information that we had and introduced to at a younger age, because we did our job and taught them. And so it is if you do it wrong. You've given them more hurdles to jump, and it's harder for them to see God if you taught them wrong. If you taught them against it, if you love the world, you can't. See, a righteous tree can only bear righteous fruit, and a corrupt tree will bear corrupt fruit. And if children comes out of a bad home and learn the right way, somebody else sowed seeds of life in their life. And that's possible, because you don't have to be a parent to bear fruit. You can sow life in anybody's life that we're here. And they may, hopefully they are so aggravated with their parents' sin that they hate it. And if that's the case, then when they see the light, they'll be attracted and the word will start forming in their life. And they'll change the course, and their generation will be blessed because they trusted the Lord. And they'll bear fruit after God's kind. If you become God's kind, you'll bear fruit after God's own heart. If you live your life after God's own heart, you'll bear fruit after God's.